Colin stopped himself from making the sign of the cross.
His Halo asteroid upbringing had been pretty formal. Supervisors and sheriffs using affinity was something he could never get used to.
The families all had daughters, some teenagers, a couple in their early 20s, Terence said. I checked their registration files.
So? Several of the girls were quite pretty. They could have moved downriver to one of the larger towns, set up a brothel. It wouldn't be the first time, and from what we know, conditions in Schuster are fairly dire.
Then why not take their gear with them?
I don't know. That was the only explanation I could think of.
Ah, forget it. If there aren't any more disappearances and the situation isn't developing into an insurrection, I'm not interested.
Write it down to an animal carrying them off for nest food and call the marshal back.
Those colonists know the risks of alien frontiers before they start out.
If they're mad enough to go and live out in the jungle and play at being cavemen, let them.
I've got enough real problems to deal with at this end of the river. Quinn Dexter had heard of the disappearances. It was all round the Aberdale village camp the day a party from Schuster made their official welcome visit to Group 7. Four complete families, 17 people, flying off into thin air. It interested him, especially the rumours. Bandits, Xenocs, especially Tyrethka farmers over in the foothills, secret metamorph aborigines. They had all been advanced as theories and all found wanting. But the metamorph stories fascinated Quinn. One of the Schuster's Ivets told him there had been several sightings when they had first arrived a year ago.
I saw one myself, Sean Pallas told him.
Sean was a couple of years older than Quinn, and could have passed for 30. His face was gaunt, his ribs were starkly outlined. Fingers and arms were covered in red weals, and pocked sores where insects had bitten him. Out in the jungle, it was just like a man, only completely black. It was horrible.
Hey! Scott Williams complained.
He was the only Afro-Caribbean among Aberdale's 18 Ivets.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
No, man, you don't understand. It didn't have any face, just black skin. There was no mouth or eyes, nothing like that.
You sure? Jackson Gale asked.
Yeah, I was 20 meters from it.
I know what I saw. I shouted out and pointed, and it just vanished, ducked down behind a bush or something.
And when we got there...
The cupboard was bare, Quinn said.
The others laughed.
It's not funny, man. Sean said hotly. It was there, I swear.
There was no way it could have got away without us seeing. It changed shape, turned into a tree or something. And there's more just like it. They're out there in the jungle, man, and they're angry with us for stealing their planet.
If they're that primitive, how do they know we've stolen their planet?
Scott Williams asked.
How do they know we're not the true aboriginals?
It's no joke, man. You won't be laughing when one of them morphs out of the trees and grabs you. They'll drag you underground where they live in big cave cities. Then you'll be sorry.
Quinn and the others had talked about Sean and what he had said that night. They agreed that he was badly undernourished, probably hysterical, certainly suffering from sun dreams. The visitors from Schuster had cast a tangible gloom on the mood of all Aberdale's residents, an all-too-physical reminder of how close failure lurked. There hadn't been much contact between the two groups since the Swithland departed. But Quinn had thought a lot about what Sean said, and the talk he picked up around the village.
A black humanoid, without a face, who could disappear into the jungle without a trace, more than one, judging by the number of sightings.
Quinn was pretty sure he knew what that was, someone wearing a chameleon camouflage suit. Nobody else in Aberdale had guessed. Their minds just weren't thinking along those lines, because it would be totally ridiculous to expect someone to be hiding out in the hinterlands of the greatest shithole planet in the Confederation, which, when Quinn considered it, was the really interesting part. To hide away on La Londe, where nobody would ever look, you must be the most desperate wanted criminal in the universe. Groups of criminals, he corrected himself, well organized, well equipped. Conceivably with their own spacecraft. Later he discovered all the families who had disappeared had been living in Savannah homesteads to the southeast of Schuster.